from Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse number 1. And the text says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up. Every mountain and hill will be made low. The rough ground shall become level. The rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid, say to the towns of Judah. Here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart and gently leads those that have young." Last year, I went to go play golf with John Hess and Gene Scheibner and John's brother Jim. Some course, I believe it was in Pataskala. Well, we got to a hole, I believe it was a par 3. And if y'all don't know, I'm a pretty good golfer on the planet, not really. But I was at this par 3 and I was feeling good, feeling like I'm gonna get a good piece of this ball on this one. And I addressed the ball and, you know, took my back swing and I went, and oh man, it was beautiful. It would have been beautiful had I not grounded my club in the ground and, you know, chunked a piece of the ground. Well, what happened was I jammed my left wrist really bad. It was painful. And I tried to, you know, play by the man rules, not let the guys know that I was really hurting. And I tried to play a few more holes, but we got, I don't know, about to the 8 or 9 hole, and I said, I can't do it anymore, and I had to quit. So, you know, left, and I had been having some trouble with that wrist, and went home and it was really painful. And I said, you know what, I probably need to go to the emergency room. You know, I talked to my wife and said, you know what, but I ain't trying to go to no one's emergency room because I don't like to wait. I love Mount Carmel East. I love what they do for other folks and medically and what they do, but I don't like sitting in the emergency room. I've done that before. I went there with a headache once. My head was about to explode, and I sat in that waiting room for like an hour and a half. So wasn't going to do that. They just opened an urgent care down the street here on 256. I said, oh, let me go down to the urgent care. So I go into the urgent care, and I walked in. I said, oh, I know I'm not going to have to wait when I come in here. Number one, I mean, it's an urgent care. It's called urgent care, right? That's the second reason is there was no one in the waiting room. And so I went up to the receptionist and gave her my name and my insurance card, and she said, well, it'll just be a few moments. And I sat down, and I had the whole waiting room to myself, church, and I enjoyed it. I had a remote and flicked through some channels, and I was on, is a DIY channel, I don't know, some of y'all watch that show, and I was watching House Hunters. You ever watch that show? I like that show, and you know how I know I like that show now? Because I watched 2.5 episodes of that half hour show. Yeah. It took over an hour for me to get back to see about my, I was the only one there. Why was I waiting so long? And I get back, and the doctor says, and she must have did it for a joke. She said, I hope you wasn't waiting too long. I said, you know what? I'd rather just have a broke wrist. we don't like to wait. Generally speaking, waiting is just something we just rather not do, right? Patience is probably the virtue that we all are constantly being tested in, right? Our kids test our patience. Our pets test our patience. Other drivers test our patience. Doctor offices, they test our patience. The line at the grocery store, it just tests our patience. Now, I don't know what it is. I just really think that God is just doing something funny with me. He likes toying with me. He likes joking with me. But I am a master at picking the wrong line at a grocery store. I say, oh, that person only got one person in that line. So I go in that line and I'm standing there and I'm waiting. They got 35 coupons. They asking about, oh, this is on sale. Can you get someone to check this price? And then they check the price and then they say it comes up to $1.87 and they give her a dollar. Then they pull out a bag of change and then they count out 87 pennies. I pick that line every time. We don't like to wait, and everything is typically trying our patience. This is why the season of Advent is counterintuitive. You see, it goes against our nature. We are engaging in an intentional period of waiting. We know that there is something coming on the horizon, but we have to wait. We know that the payoff will be good, but we have to wait. We know that it's going to be beneficial to us, but we have to wait. And this is the setting for the hearers of this prophecy in Isaiah. Isaiah chapters 40 through 55 is what many scholars consider to be the second Isaiah. They consider chapters 1 through 39 to actually be a separate book, and chapters 40 through 55 to be a complete different book. It's a different tone. It's a different message. They even believe they were written at significantly different periods of time. The hearers of this text are under Babylonian rule. Jerusalem has been destroyed. Judah, that nation, Judea, is in ruins. A people that were once a great nation are now subordinates. There is great despair. There is hopelessness. There many understood that their disposition and their situation was because of sin that had taken place over periods of time, the disobedience to God, rebellion against God. And some realized that was why they were there. But there were so many who didn't understand that, and they simply felt like God had abandon them, and so they would ask with a collective cry, "Where are you, God?" They were waiting for God to rescue them, similarly to the story of the Exodus when they were in Egypt. There were people crying out to God, saying, "Where are you, God? And come rescue us. Don't you hear us in our affliction?" The people of God were in a waiting room, ready to be taken care of, waiting to be called, waiting to be rescued, waiting to return. So then, imagine being in the sandals of the exiled Jews as they hear the words of this prophecy from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The sound of those words could possibly resemble the sound of a name being called in an emergency room, or a traffic jam that finally lets up, or your food finally coming out to the table after a longer than normal wait. God is speaking to the despair and to their discomfort. And accompanying this announcement of comfort is a description of a voice calling that in the wilderness, preparations must be made for the way of the Lord. Now, church, this is no small task. The prophet says that a highway for God will be made. There is a major construction project underway. Mountains will be plowed through and valleys will be raised. Now, I don't know much about highway construction, but that seems like a major undertaking. I don't know if y'all have driven, down 70 and 670 and seeing all these stone buildings in all these different directions. There was a lot of digging that took place. There's a lot of dirt moving that takes place. To build a highway, that's not a small task. There's a lot of dirt and rocks to be moved. There's a lot of time and preparation. But when that highway is constructed, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Preparations. We know about preparations, don't we? The holidays is the ultimate season of preparation. We prepare the house. We prepare the tree. We prepare the dinner, the turkey, the dressing, the stuffing, the chitlins, if y'all eat them nasty things. We prepare our homes for guests. Right now, we are going crazy making preparations. Are you ready? Are we ever fully ready? What we need to know is that those preparations in our homes, however important they may seem, is nothing compared to the preparations we need to make for the entrance of God's kingdom. The highway that the prophet speaks of is the highway into our lives. It's a highway that leads right into our hearts. Have we made preparations for God to travel deep within our hearts? Have we made preparations for God to take residence in our hearts? Have we made preparations for God to make his way to us, have his way with us, and bless the world through us? Have we made proper preparations? Are we ready? You see, this is the essence of Advent. While we wait, we actively wait. We don't sit on our hands and do nothing. Don't get so wrapped up in making preparations with Christmas lights that you miss making preparation for the true light. Don't get so consumed with buying presents that you ignore God's presence. Our outward chaotic lives are representative of our inner chaotic turmoil. Our minds are abuzz, our hearts are racing. Circumstances are mounting, people are demanding. Simultaneously, the world around us is breaking. Every week, we could highlight a local or a national or a world issue that indicates the severe brokenness that saturates our world. We find ourselves like the Jews in exile saying, "Where are you, God?" I want us, during this season of Advent, to slow down and wait. I know we don't like to wait. Some of y'all ain't heard a word I said because y'all wait until 12:30 when they announce who made the playoffs in the college football. That's why I wore this sweater to remind y'all of Jim Tressel, y'all. Jacking y'all heads up like, I want to think about Jesus, but man, will we make it in? I want us to slow down, and I want us to wait. I want us to hear God speak to us comfort and peace. Last week, we lit the first candle of Advent, which is the candle of hope. Church, I need that. I need hope. I'm just seeing too much in our community, in our society, in our nation. It's causing me I'm a huge optimist, okay? But I'm starting to lose hope, church. I'm starting to lose hope that folks of reasonable minds can actually come together and talk about real issues without fighting, without being hyperbolic, you know, using exaggeration with everything. When can we just come together and talk about some real stuff, right? And just be honest about it and not be castigated for it and not be marginalized for it, but have real talk that leads to real solutions. Church, I'm starting to lose hope. That's why I need Advent, because I need to slow down and I need to see God. And I need God to whisper to me and to tell me that even when you think all hope is gone, I am still hope. And I'm coming. So just hold on to hope. Today, we light the second candle, which is the candle of peace. We light it knowing full well that peace is elusive. And in some parts of the world, it is almost completely absent. Yet in this season of Advent, we trust that God is never absent from us. God is always preparing something new, and even where there is war and discord and fighting and disagreements, whether between countries, between communities, between cultures, within families, or within our own hearts, God is present, gently leading us to new possibilities. So let us hear what God will speak. For the Holy One speaks peace to the people, to the faithful, and to all who turn to God in their hearts. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet righteousness, and peace will embrace. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Holy One will give what is good, and we will bring our praise and song. It brings a whole new understanding of God as shepherd, that God embraces us as a shepherd would embrace a wounded and frightened sheep and caress that sheep to bring comfort. And so during this second week of Advent, we call upon God for his comfort and his peace during a time of turmoil. Mark chapter 1, in verse number 1, we read this, and as I'm reading this, try your best to recall what you heard from Isaiah chapter 40. It says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was God's vessel to prepare the way. He came preaching a message of repentance, or or change. Making preparations for the way of God involves change, a change of heart, a change of will, a change of perspective, a change of direction. This Advent season, may we have the courage to change. Courage to prepare the way for God by changing our gaze. May we enjoy God's comfort and peace deep within. And may we enjoy God's comfort and peace while we wait. But church, we've got to change. And part of that change is an embracing an attitude of patience and waiting. Because we don't like to wait. And we struggle with patience. I am not about to pray for patience for this church right now, because as soon as we get out of here, you're gonna get caught up in a traffic jam. You pray for patience, God sends trials. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Soon as you pray for patience, that red light is broken and it don't change to green. But during this season of Advent, I pray that we would be overwhelmed by God's peace. If your heart right now is chaotic, it's in turmoil, it's going in all these different directions, I pray that God will bless you with his spirit of peace that only he can give, a peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray that if you are in turmoil, you are in chaos, that God will comfort you as a shepherd comforts a little lamb and caresses that lamb until he feels that that lamb is at ease and he can put it down. And it can walk and graze and do what it needs to do. While we wait, God comforts us. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for blessing us with Jesus. God, we pray that we would do nothing that would not represent that we belong to him. Father, we commit to do all things in the name of Jesus Christ. We commit to do all things by his name, in his name, by his name, God. Father, we pray that during this season of waiting, that you would bless us with your spirit of peace. That you would overcome us to think differently, to change our gaze, to change our demeanor, to change the way in which we get things or want things. Because God, we want things now. We want things right away. God, give us a clear understanding of what your time means. Father, I pray that that's not just some fallback phrase that we use to explain away periods where we feel like there's no activity. But God, I pray that it would be a true expression, a true expression of putting our faith and our trust and our hope in you. And thus we live by your time and not our time, or not someone else's time, or not the government's time, or not our family's time. We live on your time, God. So overwhelm this crowd right now with peace. And God, if patience should so happen to emerge out of that period of peace, God, we would be eternally grateful. Father, by being more patient, I believe we'll be better to ourselves. We'll be better with other people. And God, we'll be better with you. So bless us with your comfort, with your peace. Comfort us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If the church could pray for you, minister to you, bless you. If you have some questions about this church, you have some questions about Jesus Christ, you have some questions about comfort and peace, we would love to answer those questions for you, have that conversation with you. As we sing this song, if you're visiting with us, this is a time, it's a family time, where folks may share some news or share some prayer requests, and they may come forward and share that, and we'll surround them and pray with them. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning, you want to profess faith in him, you want to say, I'm changing, I'm repenting, I'm about to walk a different path, and you want to be baptized, you want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to guide you in all things, we will provide that ministry for you as well. So let's stand and let's sing this song.